The Sex Pistols. Yeah, the Sex Pistols, the Clash, the Ramones.
Okay, Christy. Tell me why you like Nirvana again.
Okay.
Because I'm all alienated by that. I never got into Nirvana.
That's because you're old, William. But I wouldn't have heard of the Minutemen or Black Flag or any of those bands if it weren't for Nirvana. I had heard of, you know, the punk bands that, you know, I mean, when people think punk, it's like, ooh, the Sex Pistols, the Clash, the Ramones. So of course you hear about that, but you don't hear of the Minutemen or Black Flag or Minor Threat or any of those without Nirvana becoming popular. Because being a pre-adolescent and then an adolescent in the late 80s and early 90s, you know, unless you watched like 120 Minutes or Alternative Nation on MTV, you didn't really, and I think Alternative Nation came out after Nirvana got popular, but you weren't exposed to underground stuff. You just weren't. And when you're a teenager, you listen to what your friends listen to, and I liked classic rock. I liked the Beatles and the Stones and stuff like that, and but I also was into the popular stuff, and at that time, the really popular things were Poison, Motley Crue, Cinderella, the hair bands. You know, even Metallica at that time was kind of underground. And Megadeth, they were kind of dangerous. And, you know, they were punk influenced as well. But they were a little bit more accepted because they were more hair band and heavy metal and that kind of thing. And so I believe at the time that Nirvana came out with Nevermind, which wasn't their first album. Their first album was Bleach, and that wasn't highly received or widely received. I think the two top albums at that time were Dangerous by Michael Jackson and Use Your Illusion, either one or two, by Guns N' Roses. And that's what you, I mean, you heard fluffy hair rock. And then it was weird because, you know, I mean, I had those kind of t-shirts, you know. I mean, I was into that. I had pictures of Poison and Tesla and total butt rock bands on my wall, along with the Beatles and King Crimson and that sort of thing. But that was popular. And then when they started playing Smells Like Teen Spirit, it was like, oh my God. And I could say the same thing for REM, but REM were older. You know, I couldn't relate to REM as well. I mean, they were a bunch of guys in their 30s, you know, and they had good music, but they were a little more too adult for me. A little bit, you know, they'd already had a popular time as an underground band and were just kind of, they were kind of like U2, you know, kind of the hip, cool rock bands at the time, you know, kind of inaccessible, a little cold, you know, they were removed from me. And then when I saw the video for Smells Like Teen Spirit, or actually heard the song, I saw these guys in, that looked like regular guys, you know, they didn't necessarily have long hair. You know, they looked a little scruffy. They were in regular clothes, jeans. They didn't wear eyeliner and tight black pants and teased hair. And they did these like 2-minute songs. And they weren't necessarily about getting laid. You know, like most of those, you know, hairspray bands were. They all talked about that. And, you know, like Poison had like Talk Dirty to Me and that sort of thing. And that was kind of alienating because in those videos, you know, all the women were, you know, practically topless, and they were cheesecakey, and then all of a sudden you had this band that wasn't the main thing. It was about getting laid. I mean, it was weird. It was like just these guys that looked like they would live in your hometown, and they were making these 3-minute songs that you could almost hear. I know this, you might think this is a stretch, but kind of Beatlish melodies, like just kind of catchy. They all kind of sounded the same, but they were catchy. They were short. And I know many bands had done that before Nirvana, but I think Nirvana like blew it open and made it more accessible. And then with their in interviews, they would reference bands that people had never heard of, And I thought that was really cool because I think that influenced a whole bunch of people to seek out more underground bands from the 80s and 70s. And they were always quick, Nirvana, I noticed, were always quick to recognize their contemporaries that weren't as popular as they were. And I think they did a whole lot for music as far as, you know, I mean, I know that they kind of established Seattle on the map, and you had, like, you know, bands like Pearl Jam and that sort of thing. I mean, when you think of Nirvana, you think Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Seattle, that sort of thing. But I really think that their biggest influence was putting accessible, crunchy, but hard, 3-minute, even 2-minute songs, you know, make it available to a wider audience.
So I guess I can go along with that if Nirvana is a great band because they were somehow a bridge or an encapsulation of the entire 80s underground. I guess I was lucky to grow up with Record Swap when it was booming, so it'd be like 85, 86, and you'd go in there. They had a, when Sonic Youth's Sister came out, they had stickers all over explaining how great it was, so I had never heard of them, but I bought the record just because the Charlie the Quaker, who ran the store, endorsed it. And they had a Soft Boys section where you could pretty much get any Soft Boys record, and Minutemen section, and it was just a great store.
You know, I mean, Champaign Urbana was a college town. So you had, and, you know, and you probably had a college radio station, and you had record stores. You know, in Auburn, we had the classic rock station and the oldies station and Top 40. And you could go to Springfield, go to the record stores, because they had Apple Tree, which was pretty cool. But then you could go to the mall and go to Music Land. And that was about it. And, you know, if you wanted to be underground in Auburn, you were like me and got into your dad's old classic rock.
Yep.
That wasn't so popular. You know, I wouldn't call that indie because I'm sure that was major label stuff. But, you know, when you weren't just into Boston and Foreigner and getting into the weird stuff like Yes and King Crimson and stuff like that. But yeah, but you know, as a teenager, I was 12 or 13, you'd watch MTV, and yeah, it totally helped.
Things you see are good about Nirvana aren't really about Nirvana, but they're about whoever promoted Nirvana and the people that, the community that had backed them up until then. Nevertheless, I see where you're coming from and can understand how Nirvana would be cool, like an authentic indie rock band that was accessible through the regular channels. And
yeah, well, to me, you know, and even at that time, I was familiar with lots of different type of music, but that was, it was a little different. It helped me appreciate punk more. It just, you know, I think, mm-hmm. I don't know, it just did a lot. It did a lot. It helped me like new bands, like if I thought, well, if they're out there, who else is out there like that? But maybe they're not playing, you know? That's how I got into like Guided by Voices, you know? Probably reading a review of a Nirvana album. Well, if you like melodic 3-minute rock, check out Guided by Voices. I'm sure it was something like that I read. You know, anything. And then that eventually evolved into my liking, well, if there are bands like that, I wonder if there are British bands like that that aren't harsh and abrasive like the Sex Pistols. And so that led me into liking The Jam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know. It was like a key. I see Nirvana as like a key to, you know, to open a door to like this great world of rock. And with that, I have to say, with that, I think that opened the door to my parents getting out of the classic rock rut.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they were like, well, what is she listening to? And then I introduced them to newer stuff. And then they got into, not Nirvana. I think they thought Nirvana was a little noisy. But then they got into Wilco. And they got into the Jayhawks. And they got into more, maybe like kind of the punk, but more of the country type.
Yeah.
Punk, Uncle Tupelo, Sunvolt, that kind of thing, Drive-By Truckers. And now they don't listen to classic rock. They think that what's important is going to shows, supporting indie rock. And I think that is really cool for 50-year-olds.
How Nirvana helped save Christy's parents.
It's true. It's true. I can trace it to Nirvana.
All right.